Here in Jeremiah chapter 25, we read in verse number 1, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim's, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, okay, first year of his reign. Verse 2, which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, that is in the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way, and from the evil way of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Verse 7, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Verse 10, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. We come over here to Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27, and we read here in verse number 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, to the king of the Amorites, the king of Tyrus, and the king of Zidon, by the hand of messengers, of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters. Verse 5, I have made the earth and the man and the beast that are upon the ground, and by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and it have given it unto whom it seemeth meet unto me. Verse 6, and now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord's help and blessing. Irresistible grace, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Irresistible grace, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a man, and we saw here in these passages, he's a man that has been brought to office and power by the Lord God. Understand, the affairs of kings and nations are in the hand of the Lord. And he's brought him to reign. And we saw over in the previous chapter that we read in chapter 25 that this thing here that the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah, his prophet, is come and has been declared in the first year of the reign of this man. Our Lord has brought him to power. And what has he promised? Well, he's going to use the nations round about Israel, and he's going to use namely this man and his kingdom to be a chastisement and a judgment upon his nation. He's going to use Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, a great man, a powerful man, a man that has been brought to high station, a man most notable among the kings of the earth ever. Understand that. Understand that. We're going to see more clarity about that here in a moment. He's brought him to power. It's the first year of his reign, and he's going to use him as a whip upon his nation. The Lord's promised it. He's going to do it, and he is doing it as we see here. We come over to the book of Daniel, and it's interesting, as great a man as Nebuchadnezzar is, there is little written about him, but there is some, okay? But there is little in comparison to others. As I was studying for the message and to bring this forth, there's really very little written about such a great man. And he is great. We come over here to Daniel, and Brother Daniel is taken in that first wave of the captivity where Nebuchadnezzar comes upon Israel, upon Jerusalem, and he and three other brethren are taken in this captivity. And we come here to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, okay, of the book of Daniel, okay? Right after Ezekiel, we have Daniel. And we see here in chapter 2, verse number 1, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, whereupon his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me, and if you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." Is this man full of himself? He's the king. There's no one, understand this, there is no one in the world that stands against this man. He's had a dream very early in his reign, right? Second year. But he can't remember it. It sure troubled him. Couldn't sleep because of it. He wants to know what it means. He has conquered lands. He will conquer more lands. He's brought Israel into captivity. He goes and he takes gods of other nations that he likes. He destroys the gods of other nations that he doesn't like. He takes their stuff. He takes their people. And he wants to know the answer to this dream now. He says, if you don't, I'm going to cut you up in pieces, you, your family, and your stuff, and we're going to make it a dung heap to where everybody in your neighborhood just brings their refuse and waste and trash and dumps it all right there. Said, tell us the dream. You bunch of liars and cheaters and fakers. You tell me the dream. If you amount to anything, see, all these soothsayers and these magicians and these sorcerers, the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar has put them in their station. He provides for them from his stuff that he has gotten and stolen and taken as a king from others. He takes it and he uses it to support them. And he says, now you're going to earn your keep. Tell me what the dream is. Well, I trust you know the account. We read on. Brother Daniel gets word of this. They say it's a rare thing that the king requireth. They say in verse number 11, nobody can do this but the gods, except the gods, little g. And he was, it says in verse number 12, he was angry and very furious. He commanded destroy. The edict went out to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And then the word comes to Daniel, verse number 14, and then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. It was his lot to do so, a distasteful thing, I would imagine, from what I seem that we gather from this. And Daniel asked, verse number 15, there in the middle of the verse, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Even Daniel acknowledges, this thing's awful quick. Why is it so hasty? Well, there's nobody that stands against him. Not a soul. Not a soul can refute or rebut or correct. Not a person in the world stands against this man. Why is it so hasty? And so he tells Daniel, verse number 15, Daniel went into the king. This is boldness, isn't it? Especially in this day. But he has a station there, but he goes in, says, give me time. He goes to Hananiah and Mishael in verse number 17, Azariah, otherwise given names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three other Hebrew children taken with Daniel. And he said, let's pray. Let's pray to our God. Okay, chapter 1 tells about the purpose that they had in not taking the king's meat and the king's wine, and how their faith in the Lord blessed them and made them to appear fairer than any other. And these brethren that are there with Daniel, he says, let's pray. He said, let's pray that they would desire mercies, verse 18, of God in heaven concerning the secret. And so they prayed. And in the night, verse number 19, it was revealed to Daniel, wasn't it? And you know what he does? He praises God. He blesses the God of heaven. You know, that's what we are to be, a thankful people, a praising people of our Lord. You know, the Lord blesses you with something good out of His Word. Praise Him and bless Him for it. The Lord meets a need that's at hand. Praise Him and bless Him for it. You there in the Lord. You know, this thing of personal worship. We're called to public worship today, and well, we ought to be here, and I'm glad that you're here. But do you worship our God? Do you worship our Lord privately? Just you and Him, where nobody else will hear, nobody else will see. You know, we need to do that. And Daniel did so here. And so he blessed the God of heaven. And so he goes on and tells here about what he says and prays unto the Lord. And he thanks Him in verse number 23. And so he goes to Arioch and says, I've got the answer. Don't destroy the wise men. And so then he brings him in verse number 25, quickly, in haste. And that seems Arioch, he doesn't want to do this deed that he's been assigned. He will, but he doesn't want to. And he says, there's a man of Judah, of the captives, that's got the answer. Verse 25, the king answered, said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, that was the Babylonian name given, are you able to make known the dream, which I have seen, and give the interpretation of it? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. There's a God in heaven that works too. He's very interested in the affairs of the world, the earth. And maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter day. So this is prophetic. Okay? It's present and prophetic. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. For thee, O king, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. He that revealeth secrets maketh unknown to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and if thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. He said, the Lord has done this in a gracious way, to be gracious and merciful unto others. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. You saw an image that the head was of fine gold, and his breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. And thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. And then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and it became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. Can you imagine those metals becoming like chaff? Like the husk of wheat blowing around everywhere? We see that as they've been harvesting wheat here lately. And he says here, the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven have given thee a kingdom. Mark that down. Now, the man of God is telling Nebuchadnezzar, you have this kingdom from God. He's given it to you. You've got this king. Don't you think that would be precarious for Daniel? But you know what? This is the word of the Lord. This isn't a man speaking. This is God speaking through his man. He hath given into thy hand, hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Verse 38. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. This image, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. You're the top. You're the top drawer of what this image represents of the kingdoms of the world. And God has given it to you. You're the head of gold. He goes on to say, verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, okay, and such as that. Verse 41, whereas thou sawest feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. There shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as I saw the iron mixed with the miry clay. These are prophetic things. The toes and feet, and such as that, part iron, part clay, partly strong, partly broken. Verse 43, whereas I saw iron mixed with clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron mixed with clay. Prophetic things. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's telling what Jesus is going to do. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Jesus' kingdom is going to rise, and it's going to be established, and it'll be known by all, and it'll be set forever. It says here, forasmuch, verse 45, as thou sawest the stone that was cut at the mountain without hands, and then break a piece of iron, brass, clay, and so on, the great God hath made known to the king that what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, the interpretation thereof is sure. Listen to the reaction, verse 46. And King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. Have you ever seen this king worship anybody? Worship anything? All he has is gods. But understand the gods that he has, he's in control of. Nebuchadnezzar's in a shape that he'll tell everybody else what the gods are thinking. Right? He will direct any priests that he has as into the way of the gods that they have. See, everything with Nebuchadnezzar all jibes the way he wants it to jibe. He's king. But you know what? He knows that this man has told him the dream. He knows that this man has explained and interpreted the dream. And he knows and has been made to understand that this dream is from God Almighty. His kingdom is from God Almighty, and this dream is from God Almighty. And this man, Daniel, is from God Almighty. This is the dream. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I got on the wrong page. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation of sweet odors unto him. The king answered Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief governors and all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And then Nebuchadnezzar thinks, doesn't he? He's wowed by what's happened. He knows that it's from beyond him. This man's used to doing everything and directing everything in his kingdom. But you know what? This man has met one that is greater than he. And he's met a man that doesn't fear him. Okay? Daniel respects the authority of the government and the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar. But he knows that Daniel, and he knows that those that are with him, honor God more. And then we come to chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, verse number one, the king made an image of gold. He says, head, nothing. How about the whole thing? I plan on staying here. He makes an image of gold, head to toe. He says, you know what? Okay, image, dream, all that. I like the head part. I like the gold part. I'm going to make an image of gold. And then take a look here. What's it says? Made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, 90 feet of gold. He said, fellas, get all the gold that we need of what we've taken and occupied and what you've got and all the gold that we have. I'm not saying that they used all the gold. He said, get enough together. I want an image made 90 feet tall. That's better than twice the height of our church house, three times the height of our church house. An image of gold. It was a real one. He says, I'm going to set up a representation of my kingdom. He probably was thinking legacy, and he was thinking about what he wanted to do. And you know the account. I trust that you do. Everybody is called to stand at the right time. When you hear all the music, bow down to the image. Bow down to the image. See how Nebuchadnezzar directs everything? He would only bow down if he wanted to, but everybody else is going to bow down. Going to bow down to my image that I've created, that I think in his heart and mind represents me. My greatness. My testimony of what I have done. I think he got to thinking about how Daniel said, this kingdom's been given to you. And I think that's going to be evidence in other passages that we see. But there were Chaldeans that said, there's these people over here that aren't doing that. Verse number 8, right? They came near, they accused the Jews. They tell Nebuchadnezzar about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Babylonian names. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't bow down. They bring them before the king. And the king says, fellas, I'll give you another chance. When you hear the music play, you bow down. What's our brethren say? He said, he says in the latter part of verse number 15, he said, there's not going to be anybody that's going to live here out of my hands. So you just get ready. I'm going to give the cue for the music, and you bow down. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Oh, they weren't nervous. They weren't sweaty-palmed. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. He's able to deliver us out of your furnace, but he's going to deliver us out of your hand, one way or the other. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will be obedient to you in your captivity of us. We will obey you in the assignments that you give us to do that are not against our God, but to worship your gods we will not do. We're just not going to go there. Just not going to go there. Oh, he's in a rage. He's full of fury, verse number 19, right? He says, fire up that furnace seven times. What it was designed for, fellas, I want that thing to glow. He commands men, mighty men, to take these three, our three brethren, and to throw them into that furnace. It was heated up so hot that the men that carried them there were consumed when they approached that close. Nebuchadnezzar is watching this. It goes on to say here in this account, verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment and urge was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23, and these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Did Nebuchadnezzar know who the Son of God is? Not before this. But you know what? When Jesus shows up, everybody knows who Jesus is. It says plainly in the scriptures, nobody's got to ask one another, who is that over there? When Jesus comes back, nobody has to be told. That's where the saints of the Lord and the order of the things the Lord's given us in the Scriptures to understand about our Lord's return and the time of the end times and that, the saints will say, hooray, there's our Savior. And sinners say, oh no, looky there. Nebuchadnezzar, in that burning fiery furnace, he looked down there, he said, there's four men down there, and one is the Son of God. Things are happening with Nebuchadnezzar that he cannot control, that he cannot manipulate, that are out of his dominion. He says, they have no hurt. And he came near to the mouth of the fiery furnace, verse 26, and spake, said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. And they come out, and all those, the leadership there under Nebuchadnezzar, they saw the men there, verse number 27, and the fire had no power. You know what? Their hair was intact, not a little bit of it singed, and you couldn't even smell the fuel and the burning of the fire upon their clothes. Well, they don't even smell like they've been in a fire. And the king had it stoked up seven times what it was designed to be. And you can't even smell the fire on these fellas, the smoke upon them. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word. He's been impressed by that, hadn't he? Because nobody changes the king's word. Nebuchadnezzar has met somebody greater than him. There's not his equal upon the earth. He is the head of gold. What he says goes in the world. The known world, what he says happens. But not with this one. Not with this one. And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. That was his thing, wasn't it? Cut in pieces, made house made a dunghill. That was his tormentive punishment. That was the worst. That's what he did. And he says, don't speak against their God. Don't speak against their God. A man in control that has met someone else. This is irresistible grace, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. We come to chapter 4. We come to chapter 4, and it reads in verse 1, number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people and nations and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Now Nebuchadnezzar has come to a point in his life, he's going to tell when it got personal. He saw about how the Lord used Daniel. He knew it was beyond his ability and what he could do and any other. He saw what the Lord did regarding Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he knew it was beyond him and what he could do or control. But now he comes to a time that he's going to say, and he's going to tell everybody in the kingdom what the Lord has come down and done to him. Done to him. He says, I want to tell what the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. Exclamation points there. Do you notice that? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. He can do what I cannot do. Nebuchadnezzar, as it is with every sinner that is visited by the Lord, they're brought to the understanding of their mortality. We need to understand that in this flesh we will not live. Because of sin, we are going to die. And the man had built kingdoms that are unparalleled and built things and wonders that were unparalleled. and he knows, and he's brought by the Lord amongst many things, but he's been brought by the Lord to understand it's only God that lives forever. It's only the Lord whose life is eternal and spans the generation of men. Oh, I've built it up. I've done great things, but I can't live forever to enjoy it. But the Lord does. Great and mighty works, and his time is eternal. Generation to generation is a way, indeed, of describing that. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, verse 4, and flourishing in my palace. I had a dream, made me afraid. The visions of my heart troubled me again. Therefore he made a decree to call all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known unto him the interpretation. They came, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, soothsayers, all that. I told him the dream. It wasn't hidden from him this time. And he says, tell me what it means. We don't see here cut in pieces made of dunghill, do we? Well, he's writing past tense. He's writing after the fact. And I think the Lord indeed was dealing with him that he needed an answer. And he called who he knew. And among them is our brother Daniel again. Verse 8, but at the last, Daniel came in before me. He was resorting to what he had built up, wasn't he? He understood about Daniel. He understood about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he is holding out for what he has built and the gods that he naturally would prefer. But they couldn't do anything for him, could they? This thing is a dealing by that which is beyond his kingdom. He is one man, one soul that is there, that is being dealt with by God Almighty, and he has nothing he can do in and of himself. Oh, he tries to hang on to what he's got, but it's just not going to work because those things don't work. But at the last, why wouldn't Daniel be the first? Well, that's natural man at work. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of the dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. He said, I saw a tree in the midst of the earth. It was of great height. It grew, and it reached to heaven, and it filled the earth. The leaves of it were fair and nice. The fruit was abundant. It was meat for the beast and for all. The fowls of heaven dwelled in the boughs of it, and all the flesh was fed by it. I saw in the visions, verse 13, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven, one greater than me. He cried, hew down the tree, cut off its branches, shake his leaves off, scatter the fruit, let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls of the air get out of it. Leave the stump, leave the roots, put a band of iron and brass around it, and let it be there in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Take it down. The majesty of this tree is going to be taken away. It's going to be made to be very plain. It's going to be made to be in bondage, if you will, with this fetter, this band of brass and of iron. It's going to be compromised, isn't it? And so, verse 16, let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. 7 years. Change his heart. This matters to, by the decree of the watchers and demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. And he said the watcher declared, this one that declared, that this is the reason for this. And in his dream, Nebuchadnezzar is seeing this. You understand how a dream is. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Daniel, he was astonished for an hour. His thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. He says, tell me. Don't hold back. Tell me. He said, it's against you. It's against you. Your enemies are going to love it. Those that are against you will love it. He said, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and strong, as the height reached above heaven, and the sight thereof, whose leaves are fair, and the fruit filled all of the earth, and had their habitation, it is thou, verse 22, O king. Thou art grown to become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. It's you. The tree is you. And the watcher that came said it's going to be cut down. And it's going to be scattered. The fruit, the leaves, the limbs, the boughs thereof, and there's going to be a ban set upon you. 7 years are going to pass over you. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king. This is a decree from the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat the grass, to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven till 7 times, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You're going to be out there like an animal. Till you know that God is over all. Till you come and know and understand that God is over you. And you have what you have because He's given it to you. That's the purpose of it. Whereas, verse 26, they commanded to leave the stump and the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, it won't go to another. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He says, seek mercy and repent. Seek mercy and repent. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might and my power and for the honor of my majesty? He cooled it for a year, didn't he? But you know what? He just couldn't cool it in his heart. Could he? All that 12 months, he's churning over the dream. He's churning over what he's been told is going to happen. He's wrangling and wrestling with it. He just does not want it. And he says at the end of it, I've built this place. I've put it together for me. And I've done it by me and by my power. And it says here, while the word was in the king's mouth, verse number 31, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, irresistible grace, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. In conclusion, we see what our brother writes here, or is written at his bidding. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, because it took 7 years. That's what God said it would take. And at the end of 7 years, he was given a new heart, wasn't he? Oh, he was given, taken man's heart and a beast heart given unto him. And the way that he lived during that time as a beast of the field, the Lord kept his kingdom secure for 7 years as they looked on out there and saw their king roaming around out there in the wood of the palace or the countryside, however that was. And there was not one that dared step up to take the kingdom away from him, because God kept his kingdom secure. Mine understanding returned unto me, and I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever. Praise be to God. He wasn't angry at God, was he? He was thankful for what the Lord had done unto him. See, the Lord knows how to get every one of our attention. He knows how to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. He knows how to get your attention. And praise be to God, he does. Praise be to God, he does. This is the most powerful, the most willful man in the whole world. And you know what Jesus did, what the Lord did? When he wanted to, he put his finger on him and it was done. It was over. And so now he declares this: mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever. He lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, greater than mine. And his kingdom is from generation to generation, longer than I can live. And all the inhabitants of the earth, including me, are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven, which are greater than all my armies. And among the inhabitants of the earth, including me, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Get a picture of that. Nobody grabs a hold of the Lord's hand or arm and says, what are you doing? But Nebuchadnezzar says, the Lord has grabbed a hold of my hand and said unto me, Nebuchadnezzar, what are you doing? Nebuchadnezzar, where art thou? Amen? He said, but nobody does that to God, not even me. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom and mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me by God. That's what's implied by the Lord. He does what he wants to do, and you know what? He gave it all back to me, along with a new heart, along with a heart that knows him. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, like me, he's able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar, irresistible grace, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think that the Lord would do this with this man and not do it with others? What this is a telling and a showing to us the way the Lord works with his Spirit. Nobody bucks against the Lord. Now here on our side, we wrangle, and the Lord deals with us with how we are and where we are. The Lord sets his heart. And those other things that we've looked at over the previous weeks, when the Lord sets his heart to work in his people, he is going to work. And nobody can resist him. The greatest king of the earth in his day, and the only king that ever would compare to him would be Solomon. He said, I couldn't resist him. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, when he's giving the Great Commission into his church, And Jesus came and spake unto them, speaking to the disciples and that are there in his church, the apostles, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when he says all, he means all over everything. He works in the affairs of this world and he works in the hearts of men. How was it that a heart of a beast could be given to Nebuchadnezzar? Was that done by men? That's done by God. And you know what? When the Lord visits people and his elect to go and save them, you know what? He gives them a new heart. He gives them a new heart. There is no resisting him. In Romans chapter 9, verse number 19, the Apostle Paul writes, "Thou wilt say in this argument that's at hand, thou wilt then say unto me, why doth he yet find fault?" Speaking about the work of God and the judgment of God and the sin of men and all those kind of things. "For who hath resisted his will?" Say, who has resisted his will? Nebuchadnezzar says, nobody. Not even me. Not even me. Would we say, and I know in a sense we would be equal with Nebuchadnezzar in that, but you, as a king of the earth and a man that had had his way for years and done what he'd done, of course it's given to him by the Lord, but do you think there was any more willful than him? I mean, at his decree, people were chopped up in pieces and their houses made a dunghill. Remember that? He did what he wanted to do. And nobody could tell him what to do. To Belshazzar, his grandson, in Daniel chapter 5, verse number 18, Daniel says unto him, "O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor." He reminds him, the Lord has done this. Remember what the Lord did with your grandfather? In Isaiah 14, 27, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?" Who goes back on what God has declared and decreed? No one. "His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" When the Lord looks to work on his people, who's going to thwart him in that? Nobody. He's God. All these attributes our brother's been going over of the Lord. Omnipotence. Omnipresence. All those things. Omniscience. He's got all power. He's got all everything. Who's going to stand against him? Even our Lord is able to cut through the sin and wickedness of people, provide forgiveness through his Son, meet his justice and his judgment, and bring a wicked, wayward sinner to salvation. Truly, as it says in Psalm 110, verse number 3, "Thy people," hear that, "thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." You think when the Lord worked in Nebuchadnezzar and did these things with him, and he returned his sense and his reason to him and gave him that new heart from a beast's heart, you think Nebuchadnezzar was then saying, with being illuminated and enlightened to understand the truth from God, that he said, no, I don't want this. No, he did not. He said, "This is great. This is wonderful. I now understand and have what Daniel has, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have, what others have. I have the Lord. I have him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning." New birth. New birth. He was born again by God. And the Lord worked with him in the time of his life and the situation and circumstance of his life to bring him unto himself. "Thou hast the dew of thy youth." To the unsaved, these things may not make sense to you. To the unsaved, you may not be able to reckon how this is. We who are saved, we understand it, we believe it, we know it's so. Praise be to God that he broke me down. I needed broke down. I needed brought to the end of me. My kingdom wasn't really that great. It was about like that big. My kingdom was maybe about a foot and a half around. Or when I was younger, when I was 24, it might have been a little bit less than that. And you understand what I'm saying? The kingdom of my heart, he broke down. And praise be to God that he did. I extol him and praise him and worship him for it, for visiting me. Now, I'm thankful he didn't have to make me a beast of the field, but he brought me to the end of myself. Nobody can resist our Lord. Our Lord Jesus says to the unsaved, in John chapter 6, dealing with the free lunch crowd there, verses 27 through 29, he says unto the unsaved, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. They wanted a free lunch, and they were working hard for it. But the Lord says, you got your focus wrong. You need to labor for that which is eternal. Listen to this. Which the Son of Man shall give you. You need the Lord. You need His gift unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Even the Father has sanctioned this. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Hear that. This is the work of God. God works that sinners will believe on Him. His people will believe on Him. But yet the Lord calls and says, you want to obey God? Believe on His Son. Hear that? Hear that two-faceted message of those words. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. And that's what the Lord does with His Spirit. He opens eyes and opens hearts and gives a new heart that sinners would believe on the one that He has sent. But yet the declaration to sinners is, believe on the one who God has sent. Hear the word of the Lord. Repent and believe the gospel. In Hebrews 11, verse number 6, but without faith in God, it is impossible to please Him. Faith in our Lord Jesus, it's impossible to please God without faith in Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And as our brother read this morning in Isaiah 55, verse number 6, seek ye the Lord, sinner. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Nebuchadnezzar had some thoughts, didn't he? And what'd they do? They just led him to nothing, emptiness, a dead-end route. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. For He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. To we who are saved, we praise God for His irresistible grace, don't we? His favor bestowed upon us, His working to draw us unto Him. But to those that are unsaved, these things are a mystery to you. But the word of the Lord goes out. Seek the Lord while He may be found. You die in your condition. The time will be past to seek the Lord. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We point you to Him. And we pray our Lord will work, don't we? See, that's the reason we pray that God would move and that He would work. That sinners would be convicted about their sin, that they would see the truth of it, of sinners without Christ and the eternity in hell and the lake of fire, that they would see that judgment is real. Hell is indeed a place to fear. The lake of fire is a place to fear. It's the judgment, righteous indignation and judgment of God. But we tell you about Christ. We tell you about the Lord, who is the heart changer. Whatever you need, whatever you desire, you go to Him with it. And we pray that our Lord will work.